Hello, everyone, and a very happy Sunday. It's kind of nice, you know, because the sun's a little higher than it usually is when I come down here for this Sunday evening teaching. So you can tell we're leaving that time of year when it seems to get dark really, really early. And I don't know about you guys, but my energy level also drops. And now we're entering into that time of year when it's light longer, the days get longer, and I don't know about you, but my energy level really lifts. So I feel like, you know, I'm kind of like the birds, right? The birds sleep more when it's darker, and they fly around more when it's light. And that's the way I feel. Like, I get very tired, and I want to sleep more in the winter. But boy, when that summer, spring and summer comes on, I just want to soar. So I'm real happy to see the light today, to see the light. What I'm going to do is play a song that I just discovered today while listening to devotional music. This song is called Magnify, and it's about, you know, magnifying God in my awareness, or magnifying the feeling of the presence of God, you know, just making it bigger and bigger and bigger. Magnify. Hopefully I'm not going to make a really ugly sound here, but I want to turn my mic around a little bit so that it's facing my speakers a little more. So watch your ears. Hopefully that wasn't too bad. Sometimes I hear people when they turn their microphones, it's like, so I didn't know how mine sounds. All right, so this is the song that I discovered today. And it is called Magnify. It's by a Christian band called We Are Messengers.
I've been trying to make sense of the sorrow that I feel, holding on for life to the only thing that's real. I've only scratched the surface. Just a glimpse from my heart to change. And one side of you leads my sins away. I don't need to see everything, just more of you. Take it all away. Magnify no other name. Open up my eyes. Incomplete, and I made you look small. I've been staring at my problems for way too long. Realign where my hope is set, until you're all that's left. But just a glimpse of my heart to change. In one side of you lays my sins to waste. I don't need to see everything. Open up my eyes.
so that's it. Magnify by We Are Messengers. I really like that song. So, welcome to the 7 Steps to Awakening. And we are here to look at my contemplation of the quotes in the book, The 7 Steps to Awakening. And tonight we're going to begin with quote 756. But before we do, I just want to go back and talk a little bit about last week. I don't know if you all remember last week, but last week we started off by looking at concepts that are a part of the self-identity, and noticing that we can't be those concepts because the concepts aren't constant. For example, I took the example of mother. You know, I am mother. And we looked at that and we saw that, you know, I think the example I used was if you were my Aunt Maggie, or I picked some name, if you're my Aunt Maggie and my mother had placed me in your arms when I was 2 weeks old, you would not have looked down at me and said, "You are mother," right? That was not a part of my identity at the time. You would have looked down on me and said, "You are baby." And but now that I'm in this 56-year-old body, you would not look at me and say, "You are baby," but you might agree that I am mother, right? Because I have a daughter. But we looked at the fact that these concepts, you know, they come and go in a lifetime. So, you know, we could call them roles, or we could call them temporary appearances, but we can't really say they are what I am. Because whatever I am, that was what I am when I was 2 weeks old, just like that is what I am now. It hasn't changed. So we were able to see, I think, fairly easily that we can see right through concepts if we really just look and question them a little bit and see that we're not the concepts. But then the next thing that we looked at was the body. And the body, admittedly, was not as easy to see through the identity of, you know, me with the body or I am with the body. It's not as easy to see through as it is these concepts. Certainly the body changes. I mean, the two-week-old baby body and this 56-year-old woman body, you know, a lot of difference. But my mother would tell you, my mother who has witnessed this body growing, my mother would tell you, yes, it's grown, yes, it's changed, but it's the same body. You know, Regina's in the same body that she's been in since she was born. And so it's a little harder to see through the body as what I am. And we even talked about, if I remember correctly, we talked about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane and what a challenge he found in letting go of the perception of the body as what he was, or actually, more accurately, what I am, because that I am is our identity, right? That's our true identity. So he had a challenge letting go of that attachment to the body. And as we were looking at the quotes last week, the last quote that we looked at was quote 755. And you know, I think because 755 was last week, I felt like we kind of went through it a little quickly. And even though the time ended here with the 7 Steps to Awakening, 755 stayed with me. And so like the next day when I was moving into meditation, 755 was with me. And the day after that, 755 was with me. And so since 755 stayed with me, I just kind of wanted to go back and revisit 755 before we move on to 756. So let me read quote 755 to you. It says, "Matter and mind are identical, and both are false." So if we're talking about what I've just talked about, that concepts are easier to see through, the body is more challenging to see through, you know, we could change this quote to help us with our clarity, our understanding. We could change this quote. Instead of saying matter and mind are identical, it could say body and concepts are identical. Right? They're not really different. Body and concepts are identical. And both are false. Body and concepts are identical. And both are false. You are deluded by this false appearance. Self-knowledge will dispel this delusion. Both self-knowledge and the cessation of world appearance are the characteristics of wisdom. So as I mentioned, this quote hung out with me for a couple more days after the Seven Steps teaching. And again, the reason it hung out with me, just to be genuinely honest, is because I think I left the Seven Steps teaching with the feeling in me that, again, I can easily, you know, if I just apply a little bit of inquiry and a little bit of reason to any concept that I identify with, I can easily see through those concepts. I can see that they're not true, that they're at best temporary identifications, and they're not, they don't define what I am. But I was also left with the feeling that's just not true with the body. You know, like I feel a little bit like if I say things like, well, you know, truth is changeless, the body changes, therefore it can't be what I am. You know, I feel like I'm using reasoning that's not as strong as the reasoning, you know, mother is not what I am because I lived 37 years of my life before I was a mother, and yet I am still was, right? That feels stronger to me. That reasoning feels stronger. That reasoning feels more logical than the body changes, therefore I'm not a body. That feels weaker. So I think I left the teaching last week with this feeling that I had made no progress in seeing through the I am the body belief, at least during the teaching. You know, during the teaching, there was progress made in seeing through concepts, but there was not progress made in seeing through the I am the body belief, that it was just as secure at the end of the one-hour teaching as it was at the beginning of the one-hour teaching. And so I think because of that feeling and with that dissatisfaction that comes from that, this one line from this quote kept coming into my mind, and this is the line. Self-knowledge will dispel this delusion. Self-knowledge will dispel this delusion. That doesn't say that a logical questioning will dispel this delusion. You know, logical questioning can dispel the delusion of identification with concepts. But this points to a different prescription for dispelling the illusion, I am the body. The prescription, at least the way I heard it, is it's paying attention to the self, self-knowledge. Self-knowledge dispels this delusion. In other words, the way to transcend the I am the body belief is awareness watching, awareness meditation. As we go into awareness watching, awareness meditation, and we actively spend that time paying attention to the background of awareness, we are looking at the true self. And as we look at that true self, the I am the body belief grows weaker. So I wanted to come back and say that, you know, we can question concepts, you know, we can question I am fat as an identity, or I am skinny as an identity, or I am stupid, or I am smart, or I am beautiful, or I am ugly, or I am mother, or I am baby, I am child. We can use inquiry, questioning, to see through all of those concepts. But when it comes to seeing through the I am the body attachment, which really supports the ego, because remember, the ego is the sense that I'm an individual person, separate from everything else. And the I am the body attachment really supports the ego, even more than any concept, which is maybe why it's clung to as tightly as it is. But the way to transcend that is awareness, watching, awareness, meditation. This is what came to me during the week. And so as I went into awareness, watching, awareness, meditation this week, as I closed my eyes, that idea from this quote was there, that self-knowledge will dispel the delusion of I am the body. And so I went into awareness, watching, awareness, meditation with that awareness, that this is the practice that will break the attachment between I am and the body. And now we're ready to move to the next quote, which is quote 756. Let me give you a link to my journal for those of you who enjoy reading along. There you are. There's a link. And this is quote 756. In the infinite and unmodified, in the infinite and unmodified or unconditioned consciousness, modification is impossible. The conditioning is but a false notion. Therefore, it melts away in the heart of one who has self-knowledge and who is free from delusion and ego sense. Again, the quote is, in the infinite and unmodified or unconditioned consciousness, modification is impossible. The conditioning is but a false notion. Therefore, it melts away in the heart of one who has self-knowledge and who is free from delusion and ego sense. So, going to my journal entry, the question is, where in me is modification impossible? Can I go there? We know it is not this body. The body changes. We know it is not the mind. The mind is change. It also is not this human awake consciousness, because this is lost in sleep. What is here that is always here and never lost? Can I see that? Can I realize that? Can I go back that far? What goes back that far and what cannot? What am I and what is only false identification? So this is curiosity. This is curiosity, honest and genuine curiosity. You know, there are some things for me that I would say are still just teachings, which means a teacher like Michael Langford or Nisargadatta Maharaj, They're the two that come to mind right now. Like Michael Langford or Nizar Gadada Maharaj have told me about what I'm going to call a breakthrough consciousness. Like if I focus on the background of awareness and awareness watching awareness meditation, that background of awareness leads to infinite awareness. And the infinite awareness is absolutely changeless. The infinite awareness does not go to sleep at night, for example. It's always present and absolutely changeless. But I don't yet know that from my own experience. I trust it enough to try for it, right? I trust it enough that I sit down every morning and I close my eyes and I go into awareness watching awareness meditation. That I've made awareness watching awareness meditation a priority in my life. But I don't know it to be true. And so this quote is just asking those questions. You know, what is that? What is that infinite awareness that is beyond any body identification, beyond going to sleep at night and waking up in the morning, beyond any personality, mind identification? What is that infinite awareness? And can I see that? And if so, what sees that? What is the eye that realizes infinite awareness? This is just curiosity. And I suppose, you know, I'm reminded right now of an insurance commercial that's on TV, a car insurance commercial. Because what they do with this particular car insurance commercial is they'll show two different people saying the same thing with different emphasis. Like there's this little girl, I mean, not little girl, she's 16. There's this girl who the father buys her a car, and she says, "Is that my car?" She's all excited, right? And then she's like, "Get out! You know, that's mine? I can't believe it." Right? And then they show this guy who's coming back to a parking lot and his car has been, all the tires have been stolen and the car's been beat up. And he goes, "Is that my car? Oh, get out! I can't believe it!" You know, and they kind of show how, you know, the exact same words. She's saying it and she's so happy and he's saying it and he's so upset, you know, and they have a few commercials like that and it's kind of funny. Well, as I read, my journal entry, I realized that, you know, we could play that game with my journal entry. You know, like when I read this journal entry and I say, you know, what is here that is always here and never lost? Can I see that? Can I realize that? Can I go back that far? What goes back that far and what cannot? What am I and what is only false identification? When I read those questions stoke my curiosity like you stoke a fire. You know, realizing I don't know this for myself yet and I want to know for myself encourages me into awareness, watching awareness meditation. I don't want to just believe it because Michael Langford has said it or Nisargadatta Maharaj has said it. I want to go. I want to look. I want to see if I can see it. I want to find it for myself, right? But I realize that somebody else could read this with the more negative attitude, you know? You know, really, can I see that? Can I realize that? You know, can I go back that far? You know? You know, somebody else could read this and think, you know, like throwing their arms up in the air. That just sounds impossible. I don't even want to try. But you know what seems true to me. If I read it like that second person, that just sounds impossible. I can never do that. I can never go back. Can I go back that far? No. Right? Can I realize that? No. But if I have that attitude, I'm never going to find out for myself. Kind of reminds me of the Tess Hughes satsang interview that many of us watched recently. It was an Awakening Together satsang interview. Jacqueline Eckert interviewed her. And one of the things that Tess Hughes said that she thought was important is you have to believe this is possible for you. You have to believe it's possible for you. If we don't have that, then why waste the time? That would be the attitude. If we didn't believe it was possible for us, why waste the time in awareness, watching, awareness, meditation? We have to know it is possible for us. We have to know that, or at least trust. Maybe we can't know. We have to trust. You know that Michael Langford and Nisargadatta Maharaj are talking about something true. And that if it's true, it's true for me too. And that if I just have the time and the interest in looking for it, I will find it. You know, it kind of reminds me of Jesus in the Bible, right? Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door will be opened. So again, this particular journal entry, which isn't really saying anything, it's just asking a bunch of questions, but it's stoking that desire to go and look for myself. Go and look, you know, on a daily basis, to set aside time for this purpose when nothing else is going on, and just keep going back. And just keep going back. And just keep going back. Can I see this for myself? I will keep looking to see if I can, right? Can I see this for myself? This infinite awareness. Let me see. I feel like I just want to read something from The Direct Means to Eternal Bliss. I'm sure it would be in chapter 8. I like that paragraph. Let me see if there's another one I want to read too. No, I'm going to start right here. So I'm starting on the top of page 64 of the Green Book, The Direct Means to Eternal Bliss. When awareness is watching awareness, something extraordinary is happening. You are, for the first time, turning inward. Your true nature is awareness. What you really are at your core is awareness. Therefore, in awareness watching awareness, you are for the first time observing and knowing yourself. The reason for pointing out that you are doing something extraordinary while practicing awareness watching awareness is because at first you might think, what else? Or so what? By turning your attention away from thought and towards awareness watching awareness, you are doing something that will change your life completely if you are sincere and continue to practice. Most humans live their entire lives always looking outward at people, places and things. By turning your attention away from the world, body, and thought, and towards awareness, watching awareness, you are doing something extraordinary. It might take a few days, a few weeks, or for some people, a few months to start to feel something. At first, it is subtle, and you won't know what it is. You will know that you like it. It is pleasant, a new, subtle feeling. You are beginning to feel eternal life, love, peace. I'm going to skip a paragraph. Continue to practice every day. Look at it as though all you were seeking was the awareness, watching awareness itself and not something else. Be content with staying in awareness, watching awareness, without moving from it. Some days the mind may be noisy. However, if you keep on practicing, a good day will appear when your practice will go very deep without your trying to make it go deep. Just be content to remain with awareness, watching awareness, regardless if it seems to be like a good practice session or not. Some days your emotions may be turbulent. Ignore the turbulent feelings and turn your attention away from the emotions and towards awareness, watching awareness. Let's see. I can continue, but I'm going to read this paragraph too. I think what I'm doing is reading my favorite paragraphs. This one's at the bottom of page 66. You can look upon your awareness as something that wants you to watch it without expecting anything from it, like someone who wants to be loved for what they are and not for what they can give you. What you truly are is infinite, eternal awareness, love, bliss. By having your attention turned towards the world, body, and thought all the time, you imagine you are a body subject to disease, death, and suffering. By turning your attention towards awareness, you are for the first time observing what you are. If you remain content with awareness, watching awareness, your problems will start to disappear. Your misery will start to disappear. Peace will come unexpectedly. Joy will come unexpectedly. Infinite love will come unexpectedly. Looking inward is eternal freedom. Looking inward is eternal life. Looking inward is eternal awareness. Looking inward is eternal peace. Looking inward is eternal joy. Looking inward is eternal love that is absolutely perfect and free of all forms of sorrow and misery. That joy, that perfection, is your awareness. Because you always looked outward, you never experienced it. To change the long habit of looking outward, you need to practice every day. Practice for as many hours every day as you can. If you only practice the awareness, watching awareness method for 30 minutes per day, and spend the other 23 and a half hours looking outward, you will not progress very quickly. If you want rapid results, drop all your unnecessary activities to create the maximum amount of time to practice for many hours every day. Maybe once per week you can devote the whole day to practicing awareness, watching awareness. To come to know, experience, and live in infinite, eternal awareness, love, bliss is definitely worth the time spent practicing. You'll discover you are not a body living in a world. You are eternal awareness, perfect love, joy. And then it says, if it seems boring the first few times you try the awareness watching awareness practice, that is okay. Continue to practice. So, like I was saying, these questions, you know, these questions that I'm asking, they're stoking that fire. They're encouraging me to go in and look for myself. I am not satisfied with believing Michael Langford. I love Michael Langford. I do. I love Michael Langford. You know, having met him, he feels like a part of the family now. You know, I mean, I just love him. But just because he says it isn't good enough for me. And if it was, I would never sit down and practice awareness, watching awareness myself. I'd be satisfied with Michael's report, right? I have to go in and I have to find out for myself. I have to find out, no offense to Michael Langford, if what he says is true. Yeah, proxy awakening, Jay is calling it. Yeah, proxy awakening. Yeah, and I, you know, when I say I have to go in and find out if what he says is true, that's not intended as a backhanded way of calling him a liar. It's just saying it's the only way we'll ever know is to do it ourselves, right? It's the only way we'll ever know. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door will be open. Practice every day. So I'm going to go on to, that was 7:56a in my journal. I'm going to go on to 7:56b. First, let me just re-quote 7:56 again. In the infinite, see, it's talking about that which I don't know. And I would assume that most of you, if not all of you, also do not know this yet, right? We're all still in that way, the seekers. In the infinite and unmodified or unconditioned consciousness, modification is impossible. The conditioning is but a false notion. Therefore, it melts away in the heart of one who has self-knowledge and who is free from delusion and ego sense. So 7:56b in my journal says, there is a reason for purification, and there is a reason to allow conditioning to be undone. But it is not because the true self needs purification, and it is not because conditioning puts chains upon the true self. The reason for purification and the reason to allow conditioning to be undone is to create space. Eliminate distractions, so one may see that which is always here. Yeah, we talked about this in the Gentle Healing Group, that in a way, we don't need to go through the purification process or the forgiveness process in order to awaken. You know, the purification process or the forgiveness process is like a horizontal process. Where awakening is a vertical process, we go within, right? We go within in awareness, watching awareness, meditation until we are taken deeper and we see that unmodified consciousness, that infinite awareness. And it's here right now. So that vertical approach of awareness, watching awareness, meditation is what really awakens. And so the question may be, then why, you know, waste our time, for example, with all of these workbook lessons? You know, why practice that undoing of the believing in the mind? And the answer is because the complicated mind, first of all, might not even recognize awareness because it's so twisted up in its own thinking. It might not even recognize awareness. Therefore, it wouldn't be able to practice awareness watching awareness meditation. You know, it has too many imaginary ideas and it's looking for something imaginary rather than looking for something real, possibly. Or we close our eyes and we're just too worried about whatever we worry about. Or maybe we don't even sit down and close our eyes because we're too worried about whatever we're worried about and we're too busy doing whatever we do in life, trying to control everything, trying to finally, you know, the idea is when I finally get everything just right, then I will meditate. But first, I have to control this and I have to change this and manipulate this. And, you know, I have to get all these things because they're so important and I'm so worried and it's all I can think about. And, you know, and we never sit down and close our eyes. So, although on the one sense purification is not necessary in order to reach the awakeness that is present, in another way, it's helpful to remove some of these distracting ideas that keep us from practice. You know, like one severely distracting idea that keeps us from practice is, I'm not good enough. I can't awaken. It's not possible for me. Right? That's a very distracting idea. Another really distracting idea is simply labeled doubt. There is no such thing as truth. There's no such thing as infinite awareness. Right? And that doubt, even for spiritual people who are on this path, that doubt still lies there in the mind. And that doubt will definitely keep you from practice. So it can be helpful to go through a purification practice or an undoing practice where removing some of these complications from the mind. And in fact, one method of purification is self-inquiry, questioning. In fact, we saw Tess Hughes talked about how she questioned her ways of thinking. Why am I doing this? Why do I believe this? Right? Last week in the teaching, you know, we were questioning some concepts, using logic to question some concepts and to see through them. But I feel that since the true search for infinite awareness is an inner vertical search, that spending some time every day in awareness watching awareness meditation is helpful even as we go through the purification process. Kind of do both at the same time. Both look for the true self and undo the false self simultaneously. And so this is what 756B, and you know, I wrote this in September of 2013, so you can see that I've kind of held to this idea that purification is helpful, albeit maybe not necessary, but helpful. You can tell I've had this perspective for a long time because 756B says there is a reason for purification and there is a reason to allow conditioning to be undone, but it is not because the true self needs purification and it is not because conditioning puts chains upon the true self. The reason for purification and the reason to allow conditioning to be undone is to create space, to eliminate distractions. So one may see that which is always here, right? Create space or eliminate distractions. Uncomplicate the mind. And Michael Langford went through his own process of purification to some degree, although he started so young that he didn't gather as much gunk that needed to be purified as most of us have. But, you know, he would ask, is this true? You know, when a concept appeared in his mind, is this true? All right, how do I know this is true? And another answer would appear, well, is that true? How do I know that is true? And right, he was questioning his concepts. That's what I mean by purification. Belief in ideas that aren't true. We purify from that belief through inquiry. So both inquiry and awareness, watching awareness, are useful. But it's not because somehow we've made ourselves dirty, our true self dirty, and we have to clean it. Because the true self, remember, is the unmodified consciousness. It's perfect right now in each and every one of us. Perfectly awake, perfectly itself right now. So in addition to going through the horizontal process of purification, of letting go of false ideas and false conditioning, let's close our eyes and look within for the true self that's there right now in every one of us. Let's spend some time doing that too. You know, it's absolutely possible. And in fact, the opposite may be impossible, but let me say this first. It's absolutely possible to awaken to the true self before completing the purification process. And in fact, it may be impossible to ever complete the purification process without awakening to the true self. Right? Awakening to the true self is the undoing that makes all of the other conditioning fall away. You know, just like we talked about that belief, I am the body. It's a very strong belief, very hard to see through just with questioning and reasoning. But as we sit down every day and we close our eyes and we practice awareness, watching awareness. It's that self-knowledge, that awareness of what we are. That's what undoes the belief I am the body. So, A, we do not have to complete purification. It's not like we have to meet this goal of having a certain amount of false beliefs undone in our mind before we begin to practice awareness, watching awareness. Also, we do not have to reach a certain point of purification. We do not have to undo a certain amount of false beliefs before we can awaken to the perfect true self that's already here right now. Purification is helpful. Going within and looking for the true self is necessary. And then the question that comes up in my mind is, how do you spend your time? So again, 756B says, there is a reason for purification. And there is a reason to allow conditioning to be undone, but it is not because the true self needs purification, and it is not because conditioning puts chains upon the true self. Those things are not true. The reason for purification and the reason to allow conditioning to be undone is to create space, or said another way, to eliminate distractions. So one may see that which is always here. You know, it's to go to a more simplified mind rather than a complicated mind. I'm going to move on to 756C. Again, the quote that we are looking at is, in the infinite and unmodified or unconditioned consciousness, modification is impossible. The conditioning is but a false notion. Therefore, it melts away in the heart of one who has self-knowledge and who is free from delusion and ego sense. 756C in the journal says, is purification necessary? Must conditioning be undone? What must be undone is the attraction to distraction. Since distraction is the only power that takes one away from the self. It takes me back to how do we spend our time? What really needs to be undone is the attraction to distraction. What really needs to be undone is that idea that watching TV is more important than awareness watching awareness, or, you know, some other thing. Now, there are things that we all have to do. There are things that we all have to do. And I will tell you that, you know, my days seem fairly busy. One part of what I do is go through the gentle healing group with you all. So because I am committed to going through the gentle healing group with you all, you know, one part of what I do is often what I call contemplation. Like right now I'm contemplating the review lessons and writing a paragraph for each one, just like I recommended that you do. You know, I'm doing that. And that takes time. That takes, for me, about an hour in the morning to do that. So I will confess to you that I am not spending 2, 3, 4, 5 hours a day in awareness, watching awareness meditation. Right now, that doesn't seem to be fitting within my life. But I also do not go without awareness, watching awareness meditation. I typically do a minimum of an hour and a maximum of 90 minutes. An hour to an hour and a half of awareness, watching awareness meditation. And I'm moving in the direction of 2 hours. Moving in that direction. I feel that it's too important to not do it. And I also figure that everything else in my life can wait until that is done. And those who know me know that when I go into awareness, watching awareness meditation, I put my telephone on airplane mode so that no one can text me or call me while I'm in meditation. That's how I say no to the world. No, this is not your time. This is the time to go within. So again, is purification necessary? Must conditioning be undone? Remember, we talked about it doesn't have to be undone all the way. It's not like we have to get rid of the I am bad belief and get rid of the I am unsafe belief and get rid of, you know, all these other beliefs, the I'm a mother belief. And it's not like we have to get rid of all those beliefs before we can awaken. But we do need to get to the point that we will sit down and close our eyes. We need to get to the point where we actually perceive that as important. More important for at least a certain amount of time each day than anything else. Oh, and Jay is saying the emergency broadcast system message still can get through even if in airplane mode. So I suppose if I'm in awareness, watching awareness meditation, and a nuclear weapon is heading my way, I'll find out. But then the question is, do you come out of awareness, watching awareness, when a nuclear weapon is headed your way? I suppose the answer would depend on whether there's a place that you can go, like some kind of a shelter, to be safe. If so, then maybe you quit awareness, watching awareness meditation, and you go to the shelter. But if there's nothing you can do, then why not stay anyway? There's nothing you can do. You know, it's interesting because Michael Langford, when talking about awareness, watching awareness meditation, He teaches that, you know, when you're in awareness, watching awareness meditation, you really need to ignore everything else and just stay on awareness. But then he gives a couple of examples of possible exceptions. Like if you think you're having a heart attack, he says, you know, call 911. If the smoke detectors go off on your house, look and see if there's a fire. And I think that's sensibility of not denying the world experience is reasonable. But sometimes there are noises that will happen and the imagination wants to tell you, oh, is there someone in the house? I should go look. Or, you know, is there something happening outside? I should go look. And you know, if you pay attention to reason, you know that's just the mind trying to take you out of awareness, watching awareness meditation, that really, you know, you can sit right here and keep your eyes closed and this little bit of fear will pass and you're fine. So, you know, there's some common sense that's needed about when something has come up and I do need to break my meditation and tend to it, and when this is just the mind trying to distract me, like the imagination of, is there a rattlesnake in the house? You know, did I hear a rattlesnake in the house? You know, yeah, unless I really am certain I hear a rattle, that's just imagination. Funny, as I say that, Jamie starts barking. She says, here. There's still not a rattlesnake in the house. So is purification necessary? Must conditioning be undone? What must be undone is the attraction to distraction, since distraction is the only power that takes one away from the self, right? We have to get to the point where we're willing to sit down and close our eyes when that is most important. And we only have 2 minutes left, but I only have one more short journal entry left on 756, so let's try looking at that. 756D, what is freedom from ego? What is absolute clarity without confusion? Freedom from distraction, which is also freedom from desire. So what's happening in this particular journal entry is I'm realizing that the ego is just distraction. It's nothing more than that. Right? All that chatter in the mind is just distraction. So as I become more and more free from distraction, I am going to be more and more ready for awareness, watching awareness. They go together hand in hand. So whatever we can do to increase our desire for truth and decrease our attraction to everything else is helpful to this awakening process, to this seeking and finding, knocking so the door can be opened. So really, what distracts us? What distracts us? What keeps us from spending? You know, right now, of course, I'm only asking people to spend 5 minutes a day. The question is, are people spending at least 5 minutes a day? And if not even 5 minutes a day, why? What's the trick, the ego trick, that keeps me from doing just 5 minutes a day of seeking truth, knocking on the door of infinite awareness? And that's it. My time is complete, so I am releasing the mic. Bye-bye.